Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So like I said, you know, I'm still frustrated by the performance that we're seeing, the bread and circus that we're seeing coming out of D.C. But not as angry as I am at the news media from yesterday. And even bleeding in to today about Jeff Bezos and defending, you know, our billionaire who just decided, hey, I'm going to go up for a little ride in the sky, like an amusement park or an amusement park ride. There was no rhyme or reason to why they went. There was no scientific purpose. It was just because, hey, I can. And in that one little moment of clarity, and look, I give Bezos credit. He was honest. Guy's honest. He came right out and told the truth.
And then I want to thank every Amazon employee and every Amazon customer, because you guys paid for all of this. So seriously, for every Amazon customer out there and every Amazon employee, thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Oh, thank you for paying for all of this and the rest of my lifestyle, the $500 million little boat I'm going to be floating around in and all of the other things. Thank you for not taking breaks or going to the bathroom or doing any of those things or asking for a union. Thank you for that. So I can go play in space. Just nuts to me and angering. But again, you know, we paid for it, which is why we need to have policies to hold people like this accountable. But here again, we can't seem to get an infrastructure plan through. Thanks, GOP, today. There was no cloture vote going to happen. I think everyone knew that. And here to share some thoughts on, are we going to get an infrastructure bill on either side? Is the right going to be able to torpedo it? Or will AOC and the squad take it down as well? Here to share some thoughts on that, I've asked our good friend Max Burns to come talk with us. Max is a Democratic strategist, also a columnist over at the Daily Beast. He's got a new piece out on that very topic of, you know, could it be possible that AOC and the squad take this down? Max, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me.
So surprised that no cloture vote today?
Not really. I think Republicans sort of signaled earlier in the week that they weren't ready. Mitt Romney asked Chuck Schumer to delay until next week this vote that happened today. I think most people thought this would fail. It doesn't necessarily set things back much, as Schumer can come back and take this vote again next week. But who knows what's going to happen there? And we're once again just letting Republicans decide the pace of action. And it's baffling for a party that's in control of the Senate.
Yeah, but it comes back to it. We've got problems. You got Joe Manchin, you got Kelly, you've got Simina, you've got problems.
There are, and so much attention has been paid to Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin that the progressive side of this equation has been completely forgotten. And in the House, they're starting to take notice of that. You see, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Cori Bush, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley have all said that if this infrastructure bill doesn't include significant social infrastructure spending, and that's caretakers for the elderly, after school attendance for kids who need after school care, these things that keep our economy running through people power, if that isn't included in the budget, they're not going to vote for it. And they have the votes to essentially kill infrastructure, even if it passes the Senate.
Yeah. So now you pointed out in your piece that J.P. Morgan, their market note, predicted that we were going to get one or the other. You're going to get the bipartisan plan or the reconciliation plan. There was no way that both of them were going to pass. Is that where your mindset is?
I am a bit more optimistic, and I think Joe Biden certainly needs to be, because he needs both of these to pass for this trick to essentially work. He needs the bipartisan bill to get most of the hard infrastructure that he wants and that Joe Manchin wants. But he also needs this party line reconciliation bill to pass with as much climate spending, as much social infrastructure spending as possible, to make sure that AOC and the squad and the left have something that they can claim victory on too. If just that bipartisan bill comes to the House with nothing for the left, I would expect to see a huge fight on the floor of the House. That would be a huge distraction for Joe Biden.
Yeah, I agree. So this is why, you know, Biden said that they were going to move them both at the same time. But this is where it's kind of like that chicken and egg thing where, you know, if you bring that bipartisan bill and you do move, you know, that priority, you know, you're probably not getting the other side of it. So, you know, look, I'm not surprised that, you know, Omar and Ocasio-Cortez and the rest of them are saying, no, wait, we want to make sure that we get actual people some help, too. I'm not surprised by that.
No, and they're absolutely right. I mean, climate change infrastructure is in many ways the only infrastructure that matters, because if we don't build that out now, in 20 years, the infrastructure we build from this package will have to be replaced from the effects of climate change.
Right.
I mean, this is a situation where Joe Biden has gotten so focused on winning GOP support that he's forgotten that there is a wing of this party that was critical to electing him that has not felt a lot of love from the Democratic Party lately, and they're making their frustration known.
No, and look, I understand that, but I come from the school of, you know, I want the possible over the perfect. I'm willing to give up some things. I'm willing to make some compromise to get something done, because I realize, and I've seen this through years of following political stuff, that we get into these moments where we end up 6 months down the road with nothing. And if that happens, the Democrats are toast in 22.
No, absolutely. I mean, infrastructure has to pass. And this will be a real test of principle for the left. I think if AOC can hold together this coalition, then she puts herself in an incredible negotiating position. But if it starts to fracture, I think that spells a real tough time for the left, which is already facing some internal challenges. But I mean, Democrats have got to deliver on this. There is no alternative. There's no going back and saying Republicans outplayed us. The voters are expecting this. They were promised this, and they will revolt if they don't get it.
No, I mean, there's a bunch in this that I want to see. You know, first and foremost, I want to see the PRO Act as part of the reconciliation bill. Because I know Republicans are not going to restore labor rights in this country where we need to get them, so that people, as we're building this critical infrastructure and we're doing these things, that workers have the ability to actually benefit from them. What's the sense of making a bunch of crummy low-wage jobs and where people aren't getting ahead and families aren't doing better? What's the point of doing that? I'd say we have to have both of them.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And I mean, this is all funded through tax increases on the wealthy and an increase in IRS enforcement, except now the GOP, through Rob Portman, said over the weekend they will not accept any increase in the IRS's funding to go after tax cheats, to go after people who are hiding their assets. Democrats need to find some other way to pay for this bill. And it just shows you that the Republicans are not serious about addressing these core problems.
Yeah.
We could pay for this bill year one with proper funding for the IRS to go after tax cheats. There's a reason Republicans don't want the IRS doing that. And that's that a lot of those tax cheats are on their donor rolls.
Yeah, and this is one of the things that's weird to me, because, you know, I talk to Republican voters, you know, diehard, you know, and they're the ones who are still wearing the T-shirts. And the tax issue is one of those things that they get. You know, when I start turning a conversation to going, okay, you're against, you know, the left and you're against all this stuff, you start talking about taxes, you start talking about, you know, Jeff Bezos going up into space and paying a lower tax rate than working people are. They get that. So I'm kind of in this weird spot of going, how is it that Republicans are not doing the polling on their own base, who this has got to be popular with?
Yeah, I think Republicans are committing the same sort of mistake now that Democrats with Hillary Clinton did in 2016, which is taking for granted where their voters are. The GOP thinks with Trump, they have these voters. They'll do whatever Trump tells them to do. They'll vote for Republicans if Trump tells them to do it. And we know from history that's not true. These voters will vote for Donald Trump, absolutely. The rest of the GOP is on its own. And part of the reason Joe Biden was so successful this last cycle was talking to Republicans who are losing jobs, who are being priced out of their own neighborhoods, and saying, you know, it upsets me too that Jeff Bezos has his own space program and you can't even get money to retrain for a different job. And those are the kind of messages that resonate. And right now, Republicans are in the way. So that only hurts them.
So what is the messaging out of today then? I mean, you know, you seem a little bit more forgiving about it not going forward because Romney and others did ask for another week. So let's say we give them another week down the road, we don't get a cloture vote. What's the message out of that? Because, you know, I'm looking at it going, this infrastructure bill, especially the hard infrastructure bill, those are millions of good, solid union wage jobs that can be created all across this country with a reverberation effect in every local economy across this country, red state, blue state, purple state, green state. It doesn't matter. This is a big deal. And yet, if we don't get something else, what's the messaging out of that?
Yeah. And if I sound overly understanding of Chuck Schumer, which is not my normal mode, it's because I understand what's at stake here. We need these jobs that this bill will bring. We need this economic investment. And quite frankly, the messaging coming out of this should be one of unity within the party of saying, we'll give Republicans the extra couple days they asked for. Sure, we'll take the vote again on Monday or Tuesday. But if they back down again, if they change the goalposts again, we stuff all of that bill into reconciliation and pass it with 50 votes in Kamala Harris. We're done with them. We move on. And then we figure out what the House needs to get it through.
Ultimately, is that the plan? Ultimately, do you think that's the plan? Do you think Semina and Kelly and Warner and Manchin, do you think they, in that environment, in that scenario, do you think they come along with the big plan?
Oh, yeah. I think the only way you show Manchin that there's no way out is to keep taking these votes where Republicans refuse to come along. And eventually you have to say, you know, Joe, we've taken 10 votes on this. The bipartisanship you promised is not happening. Let's put this in reconciliation and get it done as Democrats. If we can't do it together, let's at least do it.
Yeah,
and I mean, that should be the messaging going forward.
No, I look at Manchin and I'm going, man, this guy has such leverage that he could get a huge, huge influx of investment, of infrastructure, of job training, of anything he wants out of this bill to make his state better off. And I know those talks are happening, but I'm like, man, you could really leverage this thing to benefit your state.
Yeah, and Joe Manchin knows that. I mean, that's why Joe Manchin supports reconciliation. That's one of the reasons Manchin has kept that party line infrastructure bill moving forward, even as it gets bigger and bigger, because he understands what that represents for his districts, what it represents for his workers and his state's residents, and what it represents for him politically as a guy who can get things done. And that's what he has positioned himself as. This is his chance to deliver on it.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is, you know, the social infrastructure part that AOC and the squad is pushing forward on. And I know the right, they get all tingly in the panties and all wadded up when they talk about AOC and the left and socialism and, oh my God, the squirrel. But all the stuff that they're talking about is actually going to make their constituents' lives better. Because there are old people in blue states and red states. There are families that need caregivers in those states. There are families that need their kids to be able to go to community college. There's so many things that it doesn't matter, red, blue, purple, orange. It doesn't matter. Families need stuff. I can't believe Republicans are going, no, we're not doing any of that.
And increasingly state Republicans can't either. We've seen quite a few Republican mayors in places like Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, going on the Sunday shows and saying, I don't care what Republicans have to say to get it done. I need it to get done for my constituents because we're suffering. And if the GOP can't deliver, my constituents aren't going to vote for Republicans. It's as simple as that. It's up to Republicans to get it together for the country and come together on this, or Democrats will move forward by themselves.
Yeah, well, I think that has to happen. But I wish I used to believe that. I used to believe that Republican voters would hold their elected officials accountable for not doing things to help them. But we've seen cycle after cycle that just not to be true, where the party of no continually brings nothing back to their districts and they still get reelected. I did, before you go, I wanted to get your thoughts on the story today about Kevin McCarthy and Jim Jordan and Banks not being on the commission, and evidently they're not going to have anybody. I wanted to get your thoughts on the whole scene.
Well, this is so characteristically Kevin McCarthy. This is party and politics and messaging over country every step of the way. I mean, putting in members on this commission who are active witnesses, who will need to provide testimony as to their own role in potentially instigating this riot. He knew from the beginning this was a no-go. His plan was to fill this commission with clowns because, you know, if I have a commission full of clowns, I'm not liable to take anything they say very seriously. And the hope is for the GOP that they can distract and delegitimize this so that people don't take it seriously. Because the biggest fear they have is that the truth comes out about their role in inciting this riot.
Yeah, but you know, you see this all the time, the WWGOP and their, you know, their antics. This, I fear, plays into that. I personally, if it were me, if I were Speaker Pelosi, I would have let them stay. I would have most certainly done everything I could do to neutralize them there. But by bringing them off and giving them this ability to create this whole other circus, I think that was, I don't know. I think we'll see. I think it was a bad move.
Yeah, I see your point. But at some point, we have to say that we are willing as Democrats, as patriots, to lose a couple media cycles for the greater purpose of democracy. I mean, some things are more important than getting hit hard in Politico because Nancy Pelosi is too partisan. Finding the truth about what happened on January 6th is the one singular purpose of that commission. And Nancy Pelosi should do everything she can to keep that integrity and to keep that purpose. If we start letting in jokers, it's as good as gone.
No, I'm with you, but it's a party of jokers. I mean, you know, from top to bottom, there, you know, you can't find but a handful of decent ones.
Yeah.
And that's sad because...
No argument for me.
No, it's sad because I used to remember a time when there were some decent Republicans that you didn't, you know, think were out to destroy our entire way of life. And this is what we're seeing.
Yeah, it is really just a difference of philosophies. It's one party that's interested in fixing the problems in democracy that led to what happened on January 6th, and another party looking at how to deny it happened while figuring out how to exploit that for 2022 and 2024. You're not going to come together in consensus on this. This is democracy and anti-democracy. And democracy has to be what we go with.
Yeah, so what do you expect to come Tuesday? Because I guess day one, Tuesday, right?
Yep. This is certainly going to be fireworks. I don't want to prejudge any of it, but I'm certain that what we're going to see will be explosive either way. There's certainly things that are going to come forward that have not been publicly discussed fully yet with regards to Capitol security that I think are really going to shock a lot of Americans.
No, I think this is important, and it's something that I hope everyone pays attention to. Max, I appreciate the time. I appreciate the work that you do over there at the Daily Beast. As this continues, love to have you come back on and share some thoughts with us.
Absolutely, anytime.
Good stuff. Our good friend Max Burns. Make sure you check out his work over at the Daily Beast. Quick break, right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.